All right, good evening. I will call to order the meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Wednesday, October 1st, 2025 at 6 p.m. And we'll start with roll call, please.
Director Karen Mary Bussell?
Yes.
Director Cassidy?
Here.
Director Linda Austin?
Here.
Thank you. Let's go on to the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. On to agenda review. Board members, do you have any changes or questions or anything?
Nope.
No? Okay. Now on to public comments on items not appearing on the agenda. This is a chance for public comment for items not on the agenda. Seeing nobody in the audience, though, I will open the public comment. I will now close the public comment period, and we'll go on to the consent agenda. For items 5A, the approval of warrants, and 5B, approval of meeting minutes of August 6, 2025. Board members, do you have any questions or any comments?
No.
I will open up public comment for the consent agenda. I will close public comment for the consent agenda and would entertain a motion for approval.
Madam Chair, I'll move that we approve items 5A and 5B as published.
And I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Can I have a roll call, please?
Director Karen Ray Russell?
Yes.
Director Cassidy?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you so much. Now onto our action items. 6A, receive and file the redundancy project final report.
Good evening. Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. I'll say that one time tonight.
Okay.
I'll try.
We teased you that.
I know.
That
one time.
Right.
And he could review. Yeah.
Right?
I think you should still do it.
Okay. So the item before you is our final wastewater treatment plant redundancy project report. We've been given quarterly reports for a little over 5 years now to update the board and the public on our progress, both from a schedule and financial standpoint. And happy to announce that we've completed all that. It's a little bit of outstanding work on as-built drawings and stuff as KJ gets the files from the contractor and gives us back exactly precisely what was constructed in the field. So we're still waiting on some of that work to complete. But otherwise, the project is completed. And I have Ms. Eileen Shields with us from MKN, who's going to deliver the report and walk through. As the board is well aware, it's been a long and somewhat convoluted path as we've extended the duration of the project, modified our budget, pursued a claim, and successfully were reimbursed for those claims. But Ms. Shields will try to walk us through that and show some of the performance of the project and how we did financially and the final report. Thanks, Eileen.
Thank you, Jeremy. Eileen Shields with MKN. I am a principal engineer in our San Luis Obispo office and have been serving as the district's project manager for this project. I have a relatively detailed report. I try to summarize and put together tables to walk through it, but I am going to walk through some of the minutiae, and absolutely, if you have questions on some of the specific tables, feel free to jump in or wait till the end, whatever you prefer. As you all know, the district's wastewater treatment plant redundancy project was designed to allow major processes to be removed from service for maintenance or repairs without sacrificing treatment and risking violations of the effluent permit limits. So this was something that wasn't previously feasible. So we're ecstatic, very happy to be here at the end of the project, have a plant that's successfully running and treating water, and as you've seen in your operations reports, the quality of the effluent has increased substantially with commissioning of the project. So the project added major aeration basins, major structures including the aeration basins, a secondary clarifier, sludge handling equipment, and all the piping and electrical instrumentation that was needed to coordinate all that equipment itself, and then also in coordination with the district's existing treatment plant. It also had some improvements to the SCADA and flood proofing of the overall facility. The construction project was awarded to J.R. Phelan's Construction in December of 2020, and the project started in January of 2021. So as you recall, the original contract duration was 900 days, about 30 months. And we were expecting to be completed in the summer of 2023. That schedule was already impacted, and those impacts were being realized by delays in receipt of equipment that was critical to the startup and operation of the aeration basins. So we were struggling with things like COVID and schedule and supply chain delays throughout the construction leading up to that. And then in July of 2023, damage to the secondary clarifier 2 floor slab was discovered. And so this was the newly constructed secondary clarifier. The project team worked together, determined the primary contributor to the structural failures were design of the floor slab.
I'm sorry, AGP guys, I'm having trouble concentrating on the person who's speaking.
Can you? I'm sorry, we're just trying to work out some technical difficulties.
All right, thank you. Sorry, Eileen, I'm trying to hear you.
No problem. So Kennedy Jenks developed a design for rehabilitation for the SC2, and that began in March of 2024. Substantial completion of the construction was reached on May 15th, 2025. And that was defined by, you know, the district, the CM, the contractor, doing a site walk and determining that the project was substantially complete. There was a, what we term a punch list that was developed of all the little bits and pieces that needed to be completed before final completion could be reached. So that punch list was developed and the contractor completed those items and the final completion was marked at June 27th, 2025. So this table that we're sharing on the screen, table 1 in the staff report, summarizes this schedule and the performance. The change order days that were awarded were 635 days. We had 5 days of weather days that were tracked. And the contract duration was 1,535 days. Certainly, the failure of the SC2 concrete floor was a substantial setback. We're happy being on the other side now, and we truly do feel that the project team, including, you know, district staff, everyone at the district, Phelan's, the contractor, Kennedy Jenks, the design engineer, M&S, your construction manager for the project, and MKN, and multiple subcontractors and subconsultants, that it would take a while to list everybody, but everybody really came together to try and work expeditiously without moving so quickly that we were risking quality of the project overall. So moving on to the budget, the project was originally bid at just about $26.9 million. We wanted to point out that the contract had an incredibly low change order rate, less than 2%, just over $500,000, if you don't include the SC2 damage in that cost. The construction change orders that were tracked against the SC2 cost and that work totaled about $7.3 million. It's about 27% of the original bid cost. At your June 5th, 2024 board meeting, staff brought a proposal to revise the project budget to account for the additional work that would be required for the SC2 investigation and rehabilitation and keep the project moving forward. So that revised project budget is summarized in table 2. And we went from an original project budget totaling $37.4 million. At that time, we were far enough along on the what we're terming the main redundancy project. So everything that was anticipated as part of that main project, not including the SC2 work. We were far enough along there that we felt relatively confident in dropping that budget. So that came down to a total of about $35.5 million budgeted for the main project. The SC2 damage and rehabilitation at that time was estimated to be just under $9 million, or we had budgeted $8.97 million for the project. So that brought us to a proposed revised budget total of $44.5 million. We were continuing to track that work as a budget and as expenditures separately for the SC2. And when we did bring that proposed revised project budget to your board, we made clear that we were tracking it separately and planned to submit that as a claim to the design engineer. The SC2 costs included construction, professional services, operational costs, and lost interest. The interest lost was due, of course, to your board reallocating district reserve funds to continue the project progress and minimize potential damages during the construction. So those costs totaled over $9.2 million. The claim was submitted to Kennedy Jenks. The final payment was remitted by Kennedy Jenks and their insurer on July 30th, 2025, covering the district's claim in full. So we brought this settlement agreement to the board. It was presented and ratified at your August 6th, 2025 board meeting. And I'll note that part of that settlement included a credit provided by KJ in the amount of $68,486.66. The district applied this credit to cover costs expended during the delay that were related to the main wastewater treatment plant redundancy project, not the SC2 costs. No SC2 related costs were requested for reimbursement or submitted to the district from Kennedy Jenks. So the total SC2 related costs summarized in this report, they're only covering the construction and professional services costs, because those operational costs that were incurred during that time by the district and the lost interest weren't part of the redundancy project budget. So while they were tracked for purposes of the claim and the district's bookkeeping, we didn't track it against the project budget. So those aren't reflected here. Table 3 summarizes the total redundancy project budget and actual expenditures. I'll note the budget shown here in Table 3 is the revised project budget. So this is looking in total, both the main project and the SC2 costs. We were budgeting about $44.4 million in total, and actuals came in at 43.7, with a difference of in the positive of a little over $700,000. So coming in under budget by about $700,000. You can see that the construction costs were the bulk of that. You know, they came in total, when you're including the contingency and the construction costs, they came in about $820,000 under budget, while the professional services costs were higher than originally budgeted by about $120,000. Table 4 and 5 split out the main project budget and the SC2 costs, respectively. When looking at the budget versus actuals for the redundancy project main, actual construction costs came in about $96,000 under budget, and professional services costs were about $300,000 under budget. So the difference for the main project was approximately $393,000 when tracked against the revised project budget. And then I'll note on Table 5, I apologize. I noticed an error in the staff report and I didn't catch it until today. But some of the titles in the table, the descriptions in the rows, are incorrect. And I think this is an Excel translation error as I was moving between Excel and Word. But you'll see that they're highlighted here. The corrected titles are here on the slide. But the rows should be just like the previous tables. So we have the construction cost, construction contingency, a subtotal for those construction costs and contingency, and then it goes to professional services costs. And the next two rows were incorrectly labeled and should be professional services contingency and then the subtotal professional services cost plus contingency. So the numbers are correct, but the labeling had an error there. But looking at the budget versus actuals for the SC2 damage and rehabilitation, construction costs thankfully came in lower than budgeted by about $725,000. The professional services costs were approximately, you know, $500,000 beyond the budget. We had a small 10% contingency on that, which brought the overage down to about $416,000. In total, however, because of the construction costs coming in under budget, the total difference is about $309,000. We did prepare one additional slide that's not in your board packet because a question came up regarding, you know, how did the actuals track against our original project budget? So if you recall that table two, I believe, showed the original and the revised project budget, and we had adjusted the wastewater treatment plant main portion of the project down by just about $1.9 million. We had originally budgeted $37.4 million, and we were anticipating at that time in June of 2024 that we were going to come in around $35.5 million. And so I have that original project budget here. It's the budget's were previously rounded to the nearest $1,000 or $10,000, but I'm just total showing them in not rounded, unrounded. And so if you look at the actual performance against the original project budget, we came in $2.3 million under what we had budgeted. You'll see that the construction contingency was relatively healthy. We didn't know what we were going to run into. We had budgeted $3.3 million, and I think it was a little bit more. I think we were like 12.5%, and the way we landed on that number was we were doing about 10% of everything that felt relatively safe, the above ground work, the stuff that we felt we had a little more understanding of, whereas like the ground improvements and the excavation and the dewatering and those estimated costs, we wanted to carry a higher contingency on. So we had, I think it was a 15% contingency on that amount, 10% on the rest, and it ended up balancing around 12.5% if I recall correctly. So because the actual change orders on the project were relatively low, less than 2%, that difference of the construction cost was $2.6 million coming in under budget. The professional services costs were a little higher on the project. There was quite a bit going on, even just on the main project, not including the SC2 damage. And I think a lot of that was due to multiple submittals and reviews and coming back and looking at things differently because there were supply chain delays and some of the equipment that was originally submitted on couldn't be procured as quickly as some others. So we were trying to do what we could to expedite construction and keep those more, potentially more impactful construction costs down while spending a bit more on professional services. So those professional services came in about $360,000 over budget. But in total, the difference from the original project budget was $2.3 million. 1.9 of that was saved or estimated when we did the revised project budget in June of 2024. And then here, as we're coming in against the revised project budget, that's like another $390,000 under budget for the main project. I feel like I'm saying main and project and budget a lot. If you all have any questions or clarifications, I can address those now. I have a little bit more, a couple more paragraphs in the staff report regarding some of the remaining items that we're working with the construction manager and the district staff and the contractor on some items that we're addressing through their contractor's warranty. And then I noted also that the district administrator and I met with a representative from USDA to do their final site walk to kind of wrap up some of the paperwork they had on their end for the loan. That was all positive. We met on September 10th, walked the site. He had very few questions. We pointed out the nice sign and the shiny piping and the new concrete, took some pictures, and he described, you know, what we can expect from here on out for the duration of the loan. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Any questions?
I have several. Thank you for the last one here. What I feel isn't really being said here on paper is, and I shared my concern with Mr. Gent earlier today, that everybody in this room knows what the professional services cost and contingency on the SC2 is, but it doesn't really say we're not responsible for that anywhere. It doesn't say that, it doesn't show anywhere in here to the public that, hey, this piece over here wasn't part of our budget, and it also wasn't part of our expenditure either. It doesn't make that clear anywhere in this. And I'm concerned about that, because looking back on it, if the public's gonna start pulling these, they're gonna start sniffing around going, well, wait a minute, you spent $7 million more than you said you were gonna. And it just doesn't say that in here. Like, we all understand it, but I'm concerned kind of for posterity's sake that it just doesn't make that clear, that that wasn't our expenditure. So I would like, I asked that the minutes reflect that really clearly, because it just isn't reflected here. I thought maybe we would see a new table that did show that here, and it just didn't address that. It's got the subtotals and it has the main and the SC2, but it just doesn't say that the SC2 is a remedy that somebody else had to pay for.
Right.
And yes, we had to front that money. Yes, we all understand that, but in the end, we didn't pay for that, nor did our ratepayers. So I'm just concerned that that's not clear here. My second concern that I didn't catch until you were talking is on table 4, if you could go there in your presentation. I think we're missing $3 million in the difference.
Where?
It should be $3,393,812. Because if the budget was 38,485,804 and the actual was 35,091,992, the difference is 3,393,812.
Is this the one that I caught, Eileen? And I think it's on my end. I caught this $3 million error, communicated it to Eileen. She verified that I was correct, and then I must have published without addressing the error.
The budget is incorrect. Yeah. So if you go back to table 2, the total budget is $35,485,804, not 38,485,804. And yeah, I apologize. That is my initial error, and we corrected it, and somehow the revised staff report was published.
That number I see, and now I'm looking between tables 2 and 4.
On
it's just that final total number changed.
The budget total,
right?
Yeah, should not be 38 million. It should be 35 million
okay.
on table 4.
Yeah, that should read 35485804 and not, okay. not 38. You are correct.
Okay, gotcha. And then my second question, if you would put the last slide up there, that showed, God bless you.
Bless you. Thank you.
That our difference is, and that was always what was in my head, that we were $2 million ahead. And yet the staff report says the $703,000 remaining from the project budget will be reallocated to district reserves. Shouldn't be we be reallocating $2,302,540?
Which, so some of the confusion, let me walk through this, is if I come back to table two and we see the $37 million and the revision to the 44.46 and that $7 million increase. And if you note there, we increased the budget by $7 million, but we said if we look just to the left of that, the $8.9 million is what we thought the repair was going
to
be.
To the left?
Yeah, see the 8.9. So that's what we thought SC2 was going to cost about $9 million, and we had to ask for $7 million more. And what happened at this point is, since we were 90% complete with the project and sitting on $2 million in unspent contingency, we stole Peter to pay Paul. We took that money and reallocated it to the new project because we had successfully completed so much. And so that's where it falls out a lot of the staff reports in the future.
Shouldn't it come back?
It does come back. And that comes back in the, it'll come back, we can show it a couple ways coming back in the $9.2 million check from Kennedy Jenks, but what happens here moving forward, if we look, you're seeing this 703, not only when we reallocated the money and moved forward,
we sorry, also- you're moving so fast, yeah, I'm so, trying to, okay.
I
see the 703, but I, okay.
So after June of 24, when we revised the budget and added $7 million to the project, those were estimates of what we thought were gonna cost to complete it. So we took the $2 million from the original project, pushed that over to the SC2 project. And then in addition to that, in the course of delivering the rest of our project, the 10% that was left, and all of the SC2 repairs, we outperformed what we thought by $703,000. And so that's the number that you see there is, in June we had outperformed what we thought by about $2 million, so we took that and applied it. And then when moving forward, we also
did
even better on those. Now, some of the 703,000 savings were actually savings that ended up going to, it was less off the reimbursement because
right.
we didn't spend it, right? It
right.
didn't cost that much to build the thing. So that's where we get about 300,000 of that back because it was actually money we thought we were going to spend. And so that's been reimbursed. But I guess the point in these slides is that there's that pause when we reprogrammed the $2 million and then we kind of start fresh from there. And that's what you're seeing is like we stop seeing that $2 million savings from that point in time in our accounting. And that's why we're bringing back that final table that you saw that attempts to show just the performance. And we can show this a couple different ways where this $2.3 million, we could show the total expenditure and deduct the 9.2 that Kennedy Jenks sent us and come get back to this same $2.3 million.
Right, it shouldn't just go in and out.
Yep, we can show right. that, yeah. And we could illustrate it in a way in the staff report that really captured, and I understand the concern, or I believe I understand the concern, is that we don't really talk about the how the reimbursement was applied. That 9.213955 is referenced in the staff report, but we don't show it graphically on how that was applied back to the project.
So either way, when it all shakes out at the end with this budget, we are under budget by $2,302,540, right?
Correct.
Okay. So why isn't $2,302,540 going back into the reserves?
Well, It is in the sense that we only budgeted $7 million extra dollars, but they wrote us a check for 9.3. So that's where the $2.3 million. So we only ever tried to spend $7 million more dollars in the project, right? So we went from $37 million to $44 million.
$35 million, right?
I mean, there might be some rounding there, but
we got two different columns on the actual. We spent $35,091, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So if we're looking at table two. Eileen, do you?
I'm a little confused because table four says $35,091, so I don't really get the difference between that and this. But okay.
Table two is the budget,
right? And table four is the actual.
The actual.
So we actually spent $35,091.
Right. So I would say that the way I set this up was tracking against the revised project budget. I had assumed, theoretically, in the bank, in the books, that $2 million, the 2.3, I'm sorry, it's 1.9 million going from the original project budget to the wastewater treatment plant main, where we dropped from the 37.4 to the 35.
Wait, what are you looking at? Because I don't.
Sorry. Okay. Table two.
Table two.
So we start at June in 2024 when we proposed a revised budget and the board approved it. For purposes of just looking at the wastewater treatment plant main, which is the district's responsibility, right? Because we were tracking SC2 separately for a claim. We revised the budget by about $1.9 million, going from 37.4 to 35.
Where do I see that in table two?
It's right there.
It's at the bottom, the totals.
At the very bottom, okay, thank you.
So the original budget total was $37.4 million, and we said revised wastewater treatment plant, main, $35,485,804. Had it written on the side somewhere. I think that's about $1.9 million. So the way I set the staff report up, I was considering that $1.9 million was coming back to the district right there, theoretically.
But where is that? The staff report specifically says we're getting $703 back. So I don't understand why it's not 1.9 or 2.3. Or whatever the new table said. There's all these different numbers, but in the end, we borrowed and our ratepayers have paid some amount of money towards this, and we came in $2 million less. But I'm not seeing where that is in the staff report here. And I know no money's been spent improperly. What I care about is there's no way for the public to know how well we did on the project or how much of the money might be coming back to reserves or to ratepayers, depending on how much money that was.
Yeah.
And in my mind, that number is over $2 million.
Okay.
Because we budgeted that, we didn't spend it, that's the end of the story. So however these Excel tables come out, I don't want to say it's irrelevant, it's not irrelevant at all. I'm sure this is some version of your tables that are probably like stretched across a parking lot. But, and I know you're trying to make sense of it for us, but I'm trying to make sense of it to the public. I want to go back to my ratepayers and to my city and say, okay, we're done. And we came in $2 million under budget. And my staff report says we're bringing back $700,000. I don't understand that.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a paragraph regarding the claim and the SC2 costs being tracked separately, but it lists, you know, the total. The 9.2 million and just talks about how we're only showing the construction and professional services costs. So I see your point in that.
There's no way for the public to understand what's going on.
Connecting the dots between that 9.2 and the SC2 costs and the budget. So, I'm happy, given those questions and any others that you might have, and the couple of errors that I have in the tables, to prepare an addendum or whatever makes sense for for the next board meeting. If Jeremy's in agreeance.
I still don't feel like I've had an answer of why only 703 is going back to district reserves.
It's not only 703. It's 703 if you track it against the revised budget
okay.
and not the original okay. budget. But it's the...
Okay, so I think you hear mm-hmm. me, and I think District Administrator Gent has heard me.
Yeah.
So I'll have comments, and I'll just spit it out right now. I'm gonna ask that we continue it and just
okay.
have a final one that makes it more clear for our ratepayers what happened, rather than the people just in the know, because I feel like there's too much in the know that's missing out of this.
Yeah, we'd be happy to bring back an item that concisely explains that type of performance that you would like to show to the ratepayers.
I just think it would be wise.
Yeah.
We've stayed out of trouble for a really long time, and I think this obfuscates how well we're doing. So I don't want you to take it as any criticism. In fact, it's the opposite. I don't want anybody to look at this and go, what the hell did you guys do? I want it to be crystal clear that we knocked it out of the park on this, and this does not make that clear.
That's understood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you asking for like a combination of all these tables? Is that kind of what you're asking?
I'll say when I get to
okay,
the, we
you.
Haven't done public
okay.
comment, even
right.
though I realize it's
okay.
semantics. But
okay. Any other questions?
Procedure.
Any questions?
No,
over here?
I agree with Karen, but I wondered if we could just have like round all this up. What you said, like the total cost, the total what we paid, $35.91.
Let me go ahead and open up public comment really quick.
Okay.
Just get that done, and then we'll do our comments.
Okay.
Okay. So, any other questions? No? Okay. I will open up public comment. I'll now close public comment since there's nobody here, and we'll bring it back to our board for these comments and deliberations, or
so
direction, excuse me.
I think that Linda is
yeah.
probably going to say the same thing that I'm going to say in a motion, so why don't I try and do that? I'd like to move that we continue this to, I don't know if you want a date certain or date uncertain. We could do the beginning of November if you want.
It's fine.
Okay, so we'll continue it to a date certain of the first meeting in November, and that we are making the request that a synopsis for the public's benefit of the impact on our expenditures and on the ratepayers, and how much was, I'm trying to choose my words carefully, but I know you understand what I mean, so that we can show the savings to the ratepayers at the end of the project, so they understand what is coming back to us, or rather what was not spent that was planned to be spent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then we can analyze whether or not we're gonna put that in reserves or return that to ratepayers.
Okay.
Which we said we would do at the end of the project.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Can I have a roll call, please?
Director Karen Ray Russell?
Yes.
Director Cassidy?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
And to staff, I apologize. All that happened in real time. So I would have given you much more of a heads up. I gave you a little heads up earlier today, but as it was happening, that's when it really gelled for me. So I don't want you to think I was trying to ambush you. That all just hit me right as the presentation was going on.
No problem.
So that's why I was concentrating so hard. All right, thank you. Sorry.
Board Member Austin, I didn't mean to interrupt
you.
No,
it's okay.
Was there anything
I just wanted to see a complete, like a simple
mm-hmm.
project cost, how much the repair was, what the insurance paid, and just have it broken down for the public.
I think there's some points and truth there. I do like that the SC2 was it was tracked separately. When like what Board Member Ray Russell said, it's we know what's been happening here, but it would, just to clear things up and make it really crystal clear to the public, that'd be really nice. So thank you. Okay, any further discussion?
No.
No? Awesome. Okay, so we will now move on to item 6B, and I'll move it over to Mr. Jones.
Good evening, ladies of the board. Michael Jones, plant superintendent. The item before your board today is to approve and authorize the district administrator to enter into a professional services agreement with Michael K. Nunley and Associates to perform project management services for the wastewater treatment plant condition assessment project. Staff's recommendation is that you approve and authorize the district administrator to enter into a professional services agreement with Michael K. Nunley and Associates in the amount of $46,772. Moving on to some background and discussion. The recently completed wastewater treatment plant redundancy project added two activated sludge aeration basins and a secondary clarifier to provide redundancy and secondary treatment. These improvements allow the district to take the existing secondary clarifier and or fixed film reactor offline for maintenance and repair without sacrificing quality of treatment or risking violations. As part of the redundancy project, the district obtained a coastal development permit in 2017 to construct the improvements at the facility. The CDP permit requires that the district monitor coastal hazards and develop a plan for response to such hazards. Additionally, the CDP has a 30-year term to allow the district to plan and consider alternatives for future wastewater treatment plant relocation, while also providing for continued function and operation of the wastewater treatment plant in the short term. In the interim, the district will be operating the wastewater treatment plant and has a responsibility to maintain it for public safety, compliance, and protection of the environment. While the district has worked to maintain the wastewater treatment plant, portions of the district's treatment plant are 40 to 60 years old. The need to understand and identify replacement and rehabilitation projects continues to increase. Historically, the district's R&R projects have been driven by regulatory compliance or mechanical and structural failures. With the redundancy project complete and the district now having the ability to shut down major unit processes for inspection and maintenance, the district is working toward a responsible, proactive asset management strategy. As part of this strategy, a comprehensive condition assessment and evaluation of the district's wastewater treatment plant is necessary to assist in defining and prioritizing maintenance, rehab, and replacement projects. Staff solicited a proposal from Michael K. Nunley and Associates for project management services related to the condition assessment to assist the district with procurement of a consultant to perform the condition assessment and provide project management throughout the duration of the project. Since 2015, MKN has routinely provided general engineering services for the district. MKN's continuous and intimate understanding of the plant's processes and upgrades makes them ideally suited to assist the district in describing our needs and retaining larger scale engineering services. Services included in this proposal are to develop a request for proposal, advertise the RFP, outreach and response to RFIs, review proposals, interviews if necessary, staff report for presentations to district board, negotiate scope, fee, and prepare a contract, project management, review draft deliverables, and provide input, and then there's also as-needed services. Staff is seeking approval and authorization to enter into the agreement with MKN. Some fiscal considerations. Adequate budget was included in the adopted budget for fiscal year 2025-26 under Fund 26, account number 26-8065. And with that, that concludes my report, and I'm able to answer any questions. And we also have Vice President Ms. Shields in the audience.
Perfect. Vice President? Did somebody become a vice president?
Been vice president for a while.
Oh, that's so cool.
We just know you're always
a lot of titles. Wow. That's kind of nicer than principal engineer.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for that. Any questions from the board?
Yes, I do. Kay. But I think it's pretty basic. I think you answered this in the report, but I just want to make sure I'm reading this right, because coincidentally, I received a letter from a former board member here, or rather alternate of a board member, who is continually concerned about the potential movement of this wastewater treatment plant eventually. So my question is, this kind of planning here is our next step in long-term planning. The way I'm reading this is that it's basically going to give us a specific plan over time. Is that including that Am I reading it right?
That takes that into consideration. Great. Essentially, we're just kind of looking at the next 25 years and then also take into account, hey, if we do need to relocate, you know, kind of, it allows us to look at the plant and prioritize certain tasks, and then, you know, maybe some of those tasks can get pushed kind of down the line when we get closer to that time, the term limit, you know, and have a better idea on, okay, are we going to be staying here, or do we have to relocate? Do we need to spend all this money on this specific project? Things like that.
Got it. And then, so is it a given that we are moving? And that's the way it's been presented in public comment, so I want to make sure I understand that.
No, and I definitely I was copied on versions of the email as well, and have responded. Several of the city agencies, city managers have reached out for clarification, and I'll state that the mischaracterization is largely around characterizing it as a mandate to move. What we're required to do is understand what would be necessary to move and monitor hazards and impacts to the plant over the next 30 years to use data and science-based reasoning to decide whether we have to move on that time frame. Now, that being said, you know, there's different community interests, right? So we're going to be pushed one way by one group and another way by another group. And so we got to stay focused. This is a long-term regional project. And it is going to take stakeholder engagement and coming together and figuring that out. And so with that, I've reached out to the member agencies, and we're scheduling a meeting for next week since Central Coast Blue has been put on pause. Everyone's kind of stopped talking about these long-term needs, which was very forefront in the past years. And I think there's been a reluctance as some of the agencies tried to distance themselves, saying, no, we're not pursuing Central Coast Blue anymore. It's created a little bit of a vacuum. And so we do need to have these conversations. And so I'll credit, you know, those type of questions for bringing that back to the forefront to say, hey, we do need to be talking about these needs going forward and what we should be doing as an agency. And I'll use the data and science, using data and science and our financials to decide when and why we should move the plant and how we can do it in a way that benefits the three member agencies the most, and how it can benefit the ratepayers, whether it's through cleaner discharges or some sort of recycled water that can come back to the community. And I think those are the exact discussions that go in line with the coastal development permit. Because sea level rise and climate change is real, and we would expect to see increased impacts. But that being said, since we've been tracking this since 2017, the past 10 years, we have not observed data-driven reasons that would require relocation. And so that being said, that's part of the process, right? We're collecting all this, and we actually have not seen anything that would, as part of our relocation assignments and what Coastal's looking for to happen. These big flood events that happened in January of 23 and March of 23 that were some record rainfalls, we didn't absorb any damage to the facilities. We didn't have any spills or exceedances as a result. And so that's really a testament to the investments that the community has made in the facility, right? We've done a lot of floodproofing, improved equipment, and are better able to handle large rain events that increase flows to the plant that some agencies are susceptible to having spills or exceedances when that occurs. But because of the scrutiny and our coastal location, we've had to be more mindful and more deliberate about addressing those issues. And for the large extent, we have. And so we've got a facility that's able to operate for the foreseeable future.
Great. And then this is a step towards that long-term planning.
Correct.
Perfect. Thank you. That's exactly the information I was hoping to get.
Yes, thank you very much. That's what I was gonna say. We need to get this. We need to get this handled. That he knows that.
Yeah. Any other questions?
No.
No. Okay. I will open up public comment on this item. I'll close public comment on this item, and move it back to the board.
Madam Chair, I'll move that we approve and authorize the district administrator to enter into a professional services agreement with Michael K. Nunley and Associates to perform project management services for the wastewater treatment plant condition assessment project.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. May I have a roll call, please?
Director Ray Russell?
Yes.
Director Cassidy?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you so much, and thank you for all that information. It's really helpful. All right, on to 6C, District Administrator and Plant Operations Report. Who do you want me to start with? Mr. Dent?
Yeah, I'll start. Mine should be short. So a couple short updates. We had a redundancy project up tonight, obviously, and we'll be bringing a revised item back on 11-5 for that. No current cogeneration project update, but I am working to bring something back for you, and I have asked the team to work toward that same November 5th date to get a full update to the board on that. Some miscellaneous items. The district is collaborating with the Army Corps of Engineers in a seismic liquefaction research study. And so the Army Corps reached out to the Sanitation District. They've picked three sites in the state of California to study the effects of what is called liquefaction. It's an occurrence during an earthquake event that causes soils to behave more like liquid, thus the name. And so they're going to be doing some geotechnical investigation. It's with what are called cone penetrometer testing. The district site was selected because in 2003 there was seismic activity from the San Simeon earthquake that showed throughout the community of Oceano that there were liquefaction type damages. And so they've identified our region as a location that they want to understand. And it's specifically for dam research. They're trying to understand dam failures and how dam failures might occur during earthquakes. And so we're happy to be collaborating and moving the state of the science forward and whenever we can. I reviewed reports and participated in the August 27th Oceano Community Services District CIP committee meeting. That is a committee that I sit on as a committee member. And we reviewed upcoming both water and wastewater capital improvement projects for the district. Our auditors will begin the audit of our 2025 or 2020 that says 25. It's our 24 financials, it should say, on November 3rd. So that they'll be coming into the office. That's all scheduled, so they can start performing that work. We've begun financial reporting as required by the Municipal Securities Rulemaking Board. This is somewhat new to us. As part of holding bonds, basically we have to report annually so that it's almost like, so the bondholders know how we're performing. And so there's a little outlet where we have to upload our audits and tell them who our 10 highest customers were and stuff like that, and so that they can review our financials. And so the district has begun performing those duties as well. The USDA performed a final site walk on September 10th. That was like after the post-construction, and they wanted to see everything working, and so they came through, and that all went well. And then we met with the City of Grover Beach on the 15th to review development plans on both Front and Second Streets. Some development there has some sanitary sewer tie-ins to the district trunk main, and so Mr. Jones and I reviewed that with Greg Ray in the Public Works Department at the City of Grover Beach. No plant tours, and as I noted, we've got the cogen status coming up, and we'll also be bringing back a redundancy project update, and that completes my administrator's report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Dent before I go to Mr. Jones?
I just have a quick one. So with the liquefaction thing, that's really interesting to me. So do we get any benefit out of that, either in learning about our own plant and its risks or financial benefit, or is it just us being cooperative?
It's us being cooperative. The outreach was done through Cal Poly on behalf of the Army Corps of Engineers as they were working to cite things. So at this point, there's no financial incentive. I'm absolutely certain we'll have access to all the reports and findings. I think there would have to be like another applied engineering effort to try to understand if any of their research would apply to like district facilities. And if we were to have an earthquake, whether we would experience liquefaction. That would be a separate type of effort versus what they're currently trying to understand. It's not specific to our site.
Oh,
it's just how sand performs during earthquakes. And we have this low-lying sandy soil, and that's what they really want to try to understand.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for clarifying that.
Any questions? No. Okay. Mr. Jones.
All right. Good evening, ladies of the board. Michael Jones, plant superintendent, presenting the plant operations report. During the reporting period of August and September 2025, the district had no violations of its national pollutant discharge elimination permit. All plant data, as shown in the data tables for August 2025 and September 2025, are well within permit limitations. Operations staff completed a multitude of operations and maintenance tasks along with work orders. There were no trainings during this reporting period. We did have a few call outs. On August 6th, we had a call out for an automatic transfer switch failure. On August 10th, we had a call out for a TWAS hopper high level alarm. On August 19th, we had a Headworks bar screen fault. On September 21st, we had another call out for a TWAS hopper high level alarm. Moving on to our exceedance, we had an exceedance back in February 2025 that has expired as of August 27th. So we are on a clean slate. Nice. I'm happy to report.
Good job, staff.
Moving on to some staff photos. In this first photo, I have senior operator Chris Rigoni preparing to install a concrete patch. In this next photo, I have operators Everardo Vargas and Justin Music removing the grit classifier interior lining. In this next photo, we have operators Christopher Rigoni and Justin Music removing old plumbing at the secondary clarifier number one sump. And in this photo, we have senior operator Christopher Rigoni performing an installation of new float level system at a district manhole. And in this photo, we have operations supervisor Mike Arias and operators Justin Music and Everardo Vargas installing the new Grit King classifier auger. And then in this final photo, we have operator Justin Music showing off his sweet mustache as he exits the confined space. With that concludes my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions the board has.
Good. Any questions?
No. Just a good report, no. As always.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks. Yeah.
Good work.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, now on to board member communications. Okay. All right. Well, then we will adjourn this meeting. And sorry, my thing was going too fast. The next regularly scheduled board meeting is November 5th, 2025 at 6 p.m. at the Grover Beach City Hall Council Chambers, my neck of the woods. And we will see you all there. Thank you.